Welcome to the Tell Us Something podcast. I'm Mark Moss, your host. Tell Us Something seeks to celebrate the craft of live storytelling. The Missoula community comes together for a night of shared stories, told live, focused on a theme. Tell Us Something is a quarterly event. Everyone has a story. What's yours? This quarter's Tell Us Something was recorded on October 9th, 2014 at the Top Hat Lounge in Missoula, Montana. This edition of Tell Us Something was the premier event at Humanity Montana's Festival of the Book and was part of Missoula Public Library's The Big Read. 11 storytellers share their story based upon the theme, The Things We Carry. This week's story comes to us from Marlise Borchers and is titled The Honey Wall. Thank you for listening.
Probably too tall for me. Got to get it down here. So when I go to the dentist, I have to take Valium because I have these unholy panic attacks. And they're spasming and all kinds of nonsense. And they feel just like this. So, thank you. So I'm about 7 years old for this story, and my hair is really, really long. It's almost down to my knees, and really light blonde. And my mom is meticulously curling every strand of it. And this happens whenever we need to be seen, right? You know, there's a holiday, or it's the first day of school, or pictures, or we have to sing Rudolph. In this case, we're going to see my great-grandmother, Anna, and that's a place to be seen. Sorry. I'm not allowed to cut my hair as a child, and that's how it has become so long. And the boys at school tease me, and they pull on it from behind me at my desk, and they close it in the lids of their desk. And one day, when they were pulling my hair, they actually were smashing large pieces of bubble gum into it behind me as I sat there. And this was how I was assured that they really, really liked me. So I sat with my mom, much like when I did when she would do my hair, and she cussed a blue streak and smoked cigarettes, and sobbed. And she tried everything that she could to get that out of my hair. And it started with peanut butter and ice and went to baby oil. But what finally did the trick was lighter fluid. I think I told you she was smoking, right? So even I knew that this was a pretty shaky idea, but I did not say anything, and you wouldn't have either. At night, my mom braided my hair so that it wouldn't become one solid, tangled mass as I slept. And in the morning, she pulled a brush through it again and softly told me that I had mermaid's hair. As a teenager, I would, in defiance, cut a huge chunk out of my hair, like right here, because I wanted a bob, and I wanted people to stop calling me Crystal Gale. And my mom rushed me to this lady's house who had a beauty shop in her basement. And she rushed me there in the car like I was bleeding out. And when it was all said and done, she made me carry that hair home in a plastic bag and give it to my father, who accepted it without looking at me. And he didn't say a word. And he just went up to the studio and he made paintbrushes from it, with carved willow handles and copper wire. And she's done curling my hair now, and it's time to go, and I've got my best tights on, no holes in the knees, I'm all dressed, and we're going to see Grandma Anna. And it's in Belt, Montana, which is like 20 minutes from where I grew up in Great Falls. And this is a little place. So we've got to pick up my grandma, Eva, who is her mother, my mom's mom. And then we're going to see Grandma Anna, who's her mom. And we get there, we pick up Grandma Eva, and we drive all the way across town, which is like three or so blocks. And we get to Grandma Anna's house. And Anna had some magic in her. And we knew this because she never guessed any of the babies wrong in our family and like 20-some grandchildren until me. And I'm worried about whether Grandma Anna likes me. And I'm worried about whether or not I wrecked something for her by not being a boy. But her house is really, by all standards, a tiny, tiny shack. But it's honest and it's clean, and she works hard. And the whole deal is that I come and I be seen, and I know I'm supposed to go outside and play and be quiet after that, and that's how it usually goes. And I don't know what kind of business they're conducting in there whatsoever, but I know that I'm supposed to be out playing on the propane tank and minding my own business. I'm a little scared of Grandma Anna because she's really quiet, and I know now that was because there was a little bit of a language barrier. There was certainly a generation barrier, and she was maybe the oldest thing that I'd ever seen. Her house was as spare as could be, and the only things that I really remember that were decorative was the Last Supper hung on one wall, and then in the other room there was the one of the really good-looking Jesus. And that was it. But the most fascinating part about Grandma Anna's house, and that was consistent with the magic that she already had, was that a whole colony of honeybees had moved into the back wall of our home. And it really was built out of scraps, you guys. I'm not kidding when I say that. And there was no way to remedy this without taking the house down. And when it got really hot outside, as happens in Montana, that wall wept honey and wax. And that's what the room smelled like. And that was the most fascinating part about our house. And we were strictly forbidden from touching the honey wall. So I'm playing outside, and I've been there a while, and I don't know, I need something, and I'm not sure what it was that day, but I know it must have been important because I was breaking the rule of being unheard, unseen, you know. And I went creeping in as quietly as I could because I knew that I wasn't supposed to disturb anything. And the moment that I walked in on has had maybe the most impact on me out of any image in my life. And it was like a big flash bulb went off in my head. And what I walked in on was my grandmother and my mother on either side of Anna. And I forgot to tell you something really important. Her hair was white, white, so white that you would not be able to even imagine what color her hair had once been. And it was in huge braids coiled on her hair, on either side of her head, the size of dinner plates. And that's important. Because what I walked in on was my mom and my grandmother on either side of her. And they were brushing her hair, and they had washed it. And she was sitting on a step stool between them with her hair let down. They each had a brush, and it was not only so long that it hit the floor, it actually pooled on the floor by their feet. And behind her, the honey wall wept. And she was otherworldly, and she was beautiful. It wasn't a very long time after that day that I went to Belt again with my mom, and we were standing on the sidewalk, and I was really stubborn. I was resisting, and as was generally the case with my mom, I was not going to win. I'd been given the look, and it was over. And so I took her hand, and we walked into the small room on the side of the church in Belt, Montana. And my grandmother, Anna, lied there in a casket that was just half open. And I was terrified, terrified. I would still be terrified, you guys. I don't understand this open casket thing. But I was especially terrified then, and I looked at her, and what they had done to her was unforgivable. You know, she was such a plain woman, and she wore sturdy black shoes and a dress and apron, and everything was honest and clean, and they had her with a bright red bow for a mouth and blue eyeshadow, and her hair was waxed right to her head. And she had on this frilly, like chiffon-y, ruffly, bridesmaids-y kind of dress that I couldn't figure out what was going on with. And I remember having a couple of really distinct thoughts at that moment. And one of them was, her shoes must be ridiculous. This is insane. And the other thought that I couldn't get away from that day was that she looked like this really creepy collection of dolls that my friend Corey had, that one was from every culture. And they kept me up at night when I stayed with Corey, because when you tipped them, their eyes opened and closed. And they were all the same size, and they were all from different cultures, and I couldn't figure out what culture they were trying to make her look like she was from. And I could only think that if she could just tip forward a little bit, and if her eyes would open just a touch, somebody would really be in big trouble for hookering her up this way. But really, I just prefer to think of that day when I saw her as a specter in a moment so beautiful that it's a gift to me. Thank you.
Tell Us Something is proud to be fiscally sponsored by Missoula Community Foundation, a 501c3 organization. Missoula Community Foundation has been providing leadership to Missoula nonprofits and inspiring long-term philanthropy in Missoula since 2007. For the good of Missoula, forever. MissoulaCommunityFoundation.org. Thank you for your support of live storytelling and local art. Thanks to the bookstore at the University of Montana, a local bookstore serving the students, faculty, and staff of the University of Montana, as well as the Missoula community. MontanaBookstore.com. Fact and Fiction, where books, authors, ideas, and readers interact. FactandFictionBooks.com. Top Hat Lounge, bringing great music to Missoula for over 60 years. The Top Hat now serves food and offers, in addition to great music, comedy shows, film, performance art, and storytelling. TopHatLounge.com. Haley Faust. Haley is a graphic and media designer based in the heart of the Rocky Mountains. From concept to final design launch, Haley puts her heart and soul into your design project. HaleyFaust.com. Zoo City Apparel, custom screen printing, ZooCityApparel.BigCartel.com. Rock and Rudy's, your source for the best music, gifts, and more. Great music, great people. Rockandrudy's.com. Podcast production by Nathan Zavalny of Missoula Soundworks, MissoulaSoundworks.com. Thank you to everyone who attends the events, those of you who download the podcasts, and to the storytellers, Luke Morgan Algeyer, Marlise Borchers, Michael Lapointe, Jenna Lyons, Kyle McAfee, Melissa Bangs, Jim Ambrose, Francis Scott, Jeremy Smith, Tamara Love, and Josh Wagner. Find us on Facebook and Twitter. The next Tell Us Something is scheduled for February 17th at the Top Hat. The theme is adventure. See you then. Want to tell a story? Call us at 406-203-4683 or email us from the website at tellussomething.org to pitch your story idea.